we're going to be talking about tonight, if you've seen the Facebook post, it says, don't look at the storm. Don't look at the storm. And, you know, there's been a few storms of recent. Do you want to go in at Nessa? There you go. Yay! And so, lots of storms. I know down in Cambridge right now, they're having some crazy rain. They had where my parents are at. And because of the rain, they've now have flooding. And there was ice build up in the Grand River. And that's overflowed. There was an ice jam. And parts of the community is flooding and all that stuff. And that's because they had a big rainstorm yesterday. This week we had a little bit of snow. I wouldn't call it a real snowstorm. You know, I call this a flurry. So some people, they get really nervous when we get over, you know, 3 or 4 centimeters of snow. Me, I love it. You know, and wherever Pastor Corey is, he loves the snow as well. And so I get excited when we see snow coming. But I know what storms are. Being from the East Coast, we get a lot of wind. And I mean, like, a lot of wind. To the point to where, I remember when my father, he built his big warehouse. And he built it on top of this hill. And because there was so much wind, they put so much concrete in the foundation. And they actually put cable inside of the building to anchor it to the ground so it wouldn't blow away. You know, this is type of construction that they do back home because of the wind. We get some very vicious windstorm, some crazy snowstorms back home, you know. And why am I talking about storms? Well, I'm just giving you different storms right now. I used to be a commercial fisherman, so I got to experience some different storms that way as well. When you're in the North Atlantic and it decides to get mad, oh boy, look out. It's like the worst roller coaster ride you can be on, you know. And it could last literally for days. Bouncing up and down and tossing side to side and all those things. It's no fun. Storms are really no fun. Can I get an amen? Now, the type of storms that we're going to be talking about tonight is not necessarily those natural storms that you go out and get a lot of rain or a lot of snow or hail or whatever of the sort. But we're going to be talking about those storms in life, those things that happen, those situations, those financial issues, the sicknesses, the bad reports, you know, those things that you go through. In life, those are the storms that we're going to be talking about tonight. And like I said, my title is Don't Look at the Storm. It's so easy to get caught up with what's going on around you that you start looking and it starts dragging you down. Amen? Now, the sad reality is we're always going to have a storm. We live on an earth with a curse. If you are here, you got, you know, a heartbeat and 2 feet, you're going to go through a storm. It's as simple as that. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you're from, there's going to be a storm. But now the outcome of the storm is up to you. Are you hearing me? You see, it's up to us to make the decision on how we want to deal with this storm and how we're going to get through it. If you look in your Bibles this evening, our text is going to come from the book of Matthew, chapter 14. The book of Matthew, chapter 14. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version there, Miss Sinden. And verse 22 is where we're going to start. We're going to read it. And then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he sat away, he sent away the crowds. And after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat was by that time out to sea many furlongs. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile distant from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. I've been in a storm when the waves and the wind was against us, and it is no fun at all. I fish for a couple of seasons, and like I said, when you're in the North Atlantic, it can get some pretty crazy weather. I mean, one minute you're like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Next minute you're kind of ducking down, looking out through the window of the boat, trying to see the top of the wave coming at you. You know? I know what it is to be in some crazy weather. I know what it is to see the deck washed completely off with crazy waves. Waves hit you broadside. I've seen that, you know. And there's been a lot more experienced fishermen than me, and they've told us stories on, you know, waves hitting the boats in the wheelhouse and actually shifting the wheelhouse back 3 and 4 inches. Okay, you got to understand something. These ships are made of steel. They're huge boats. And when a wave comes, so you can only imagine what can happen. Lake Superior can be crazy out there. I've talked to some of the sailors that's been on that, and they've been in some pretty nasty storms. Isn't that right? I know some sailors in this place. Amen? It can be some pretty nasty stuff. All right, let's continue on here. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch, which was between 3 and 6 a.m., of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Wait a minute, what? Anyway. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they screamed out with fright. Silly disciples. But instantly, he spoke to them saying, "Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. And as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me from death." Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat knelt and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You know, that's interesting when you think about it. There's a lot of interesting things that took place in that little passage of Scripture we just read there. You know, when you're in a storm and you're getting tossed around, getting battered, you got some situation in life, and you know what? It's really frustrating. I can understand where these disciples were coming from. Because, like I said, I know what it is to be tossed around in a physical storm. And I also know what it is to be tossed around in a spiritual storm and in a, you know, a storm of life. It's hard for a person to focus on a positive outcome if they are not focused on the right thing. Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, as soon as he stepped out, he started walking on the water. He was focused on Jesus. But you notice what happened as soon as he took his focus off the Lord? Oh, wait a minute. There's a situation going on around me. What the? He was going to, you know, he was going for a swim. You see, that's what happens when you take your eyes off of Jesus. Now, we're all going to be faced with situations. We're all going to have trials. We're all going to have, you know, things that's just going to suck in life. But like I said earlier, the way you overcome them is up to you. You see, the Lord has given us so much power in our lives. Amen? That we can either sink or we can run across the wave tops. Ooh, that's interesting. So now, what are we supposed to be focusing on then? What does that mean? Well, there's a lot we're supposed to be doing. Let's look at this for a second. The disciples found themselves in a nasty storm, and verse 24 says they were beaten and tossed by the waves. It also says that the wind was against them. And in reality, they were in a very nasty situation. Anybody in this place ever found yourself in a nasty situation?
Yeah.
It's no fun being in a nasty situation at all. Now, in verse 25, Scripture tells us that it was during the fourth watch, which was early in the morning. First of all, why Jesus is out for a leisurely stroll on the sea, not by the sea, on the sea, at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's a little interesting, but it's Jesus, so he can do what he wants to do, because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so if he wants to walk on water at 4 a.m., okay, great. Let him do that. But now here he is, walking on the water, and in verse 26, he frightened the living daylights out of the disciples. Because you think about this now, your nerves is already racked. You're out being tossed and, you know, tossed around, having to this heck of a night in these boats. And I'm going to tell you, if you do your Bible history and you look at the times and what type of boats they had back in those days, I wouldn't go on Boulevard Lake in them. I'm serious, you know? Yeah, it's just, they never had all the fancy stuff that we got today. I tell you, there was no, you know, 25 horsepower Johnson on the stern of that thing. They had no fish finders or nothing of the sort, and no GPS and no navigational tools. You know, they had a bit of wood all strapped together and nailed together, and let's throw a sheet up and we'll call that a boat. You know, come on, we're going across. You guys are foolish. So here they are in a storm in a boat like this. So their nerves, I'd say, is already pretty racked. So here they are already nervous, not feeling the greatest because they're crossing the sea. And then they got this thing walking towards them on the water. How would you feel? You're on a ferry or something, all of a sudden you see this thing walking towards you on the water in the middle of a storm. There's something in the gravel they gave me. You know, like, what in the world? Yeah, they're freaking out. They were nervous, and they thought it was some spirit or some demon or something coming at them. You know? They weren't sure what it was. Until Jesus, and here's Jesus right at the right time, said, "Guys, it's me. Relax. What's wrong with you?" And then you got good old Peter. "Well, Lord, if it's really you, let me come out and join you." "Well, come on then. You know? Come on then." Now see, this is cool because when you're in a storm, like I said, Jesus was walking around on the water at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So no matter what time your storm is or what's going on in your storm, Jesus is always right there with you. Now, sometimes we lose track of that and we forget of that. Jesus is right there with us. You know, if he's out there floating around in the middle of the sea, walking around for whatever reason, with those silly disciples, how much more is he with us? Are you listening to me tonight? You see, the storm was raging. But see, that was nothing for Jesus. He just, "I got this." And he's just walking. So it doesn't matter what the storm is in your life, Jesus is right there with you. And Peter got out of the boat and he started walking along with Jesus. Until he got sidetracked and it's like, oh. You know, he started sinking. And that's no fun. But you notice what happened? As soon as he realized that he was sinking, Peter did something. He said, "Lord, save me." And the Bible scripture verse says there, Jesus instantly reached out and grabbed him. There was no hesitation. There was nothing of the sort. It was instantly. "Lord, save me." "Got you, bro. I got you." You see, when we get caught in our storm sometime, we forget that God is right there, that Jesus is with us. See, a lot of times, we're so focused on the storm around us that we don't see no way out. That we like to stay there bobbing around. Like, what is wrong with you? You know, and I'm guilty of this too. You get caught in this, and you know, the only situation you see is, "Well, I'm just going to meddle here and just float around." You know, you're just bouncing up and down. The storm is tossing you around. The situation is bleak. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to go down with the ship and play the Titanic? Come on now. No. You see, because that's not the way that God had designed us. That's not what God had intended for me and you. You see, God intended a life of blessing. Yes, there's going to be struggles. But you know what? If God is for us, who can be against us? So if there is sickness, if there is lack, if there is something that pops up, we can start laughing at it. I was reading a Brother Hagin book today, and he was talking about how he was at this one church preaching, and all of a sudden, well, at night, he went back after his services, he went back to bed, and it was nighttime, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he was starting having chest pains again. And now he got healed. Man, he had incurable blood disease and heart deformities and all this weird stuff. He said, five doctors? I had come and checked him out, and they've all given up on him, said there was nothing that medical science could do for him. You know what the man did? He started saying, "Not tonight, Mr. Devil. He said, you're a liar. He pulled the sheets up over his bed and started laughing at him. The man is there, he's got pains in his chest and he's hurting and, you know. But what did he do? He pulled the bed sheets up over his head and he just started to laugh at the devil. He said, devil, nah-uh. He said, I am healed. I am healed. This is not coming back on me. You can't put this on me. You don't belong in this body. This does not belong to me. This is not mine. Jesus died for me 2,000 years ago. He took this. You see, now that could have been a storm there, and it was a storm. But you know what? He focused on Jesus. He didn't focus on what was going on around him. He laughed at the devil. Did he feel like laughing? Not necessarily. When you're in the midst of a storm, you don't feel happy. You feel like you're ready to wet your pants. I'm speaking from experience. When you're in a 116-foot factory freezer and the wave hits your boat, and next thing you're pinned up against a windshield staring at Davy Jones' locker, you're looking for the box of Depends. And y'all laughing, but that's true. And so when you're going through these situations, you know what? When you're going through a storm, you don't feel the greatest. But you see, you got to do it sometimes. You got to fake it till you make it sometimes. You got to put the, you got to crucify the flesh, man. Sometimes that's not always the easiest thing in the world to do, though. But you got to do it anyhow. So these disciples, as they're bobbing around and they seen Jesus, they were freaked out. It was bad enough they're floating around. Then they see this thing coming towards them on the water. And then their buddy gets out of the boat and runs towards this thing. What in the world is going on here? And all of a sudden, the guy's walking on the water. Next minute, he's doing the floppy fish. And then Jesus hauls them up out of the water, and they're walking back to the boat. And make the best of it. Scripture says as soon as they stepped foot into the boat, it all stopped. I can imagine what the rest of the disciples were looking like. You remember that Home Alone movie, the Home Alone face? Yeah. That's exactly what they were looking like, I'm sure of it. But you see, sometimes things got to get a little crazy. Sometimes, you know what, the storm of your life that you're going through is going to get a little crazy. But it's even crazier to know that God is on your side. Doesn't matter what the doctors say, doesn't matter what the banker says, doesn't matter what the job says. Seriously, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, God's got you. Now, this don't give us a right to go around and be complete morons. Okay? We have a responsibility in life. We're supposed to be doing something. We're supposed to be acting the way and according to God's word. Amen? Amen. We're supposed to be doing something. All right, let's continue on here. Now, I like it in verse 27 there. You can pop that back up there, verse 27. It says, Jesus spoke to them, verse 27, and he said, take courage, I am. Stop being afraid. So there was no big thing. When these guys seen Jesus, they were all freaking out. Now, this is the thing. When we get in a storm, this is what we need to do right here. This sums it up. Verse 27 sums up exactly what we're supposed to be doing as soon as we get into a storm. And it's the last three words. See them? Stop being afraid. Because as soon as we get into fear, the devil's in our head. And as soon as we allow fear to come in, well, then we're opening up the door to a whole lot more malarkey. And malarkey's not a good thing, those of you who are wondering. Okay. No, you don't need to be opening up your foot. You don't need to be opening up the door. Let the devil kick the door open so you can come out. You got to stop being afraid. Now, like I said, it's very easy to be afraid in a storm. Have anybody actually been in a physical storm? I mean, like a weather storm, and you've actually been afraid? Yeah. What's some of the thoughts that go through your head? I'm going to die. Yeah. Better get my life jacket on, you know. I'm like, yeah, going to die. Anyone else? What's another? Some thoughts that went to your head. Anybody? Oh, some people are really afraid. Nothing went through their head. When we were living in Oklahoma, you all know that Oklahoma gets those beautiful tornadoes. And so being from Newfoundland, we don't get tornadoes. We didn't know what the heck a tornado was. And so I remember they used to, the first Monday of every month, they'd set off the alarms, and so they'd do a test the system. So this one night, they had this big storm was raging, man, and the cloud, the sky turned so many different colors, it was unbelievable. And the alarms went off, and then all of a sudden, all the news reports and everything started saying, there's tornadoes on the ground. So what did we do? Well, right in the center of the house, there's a reinforced place there, and it's in the closet. And we threw everything out, and we were getting ready to throw my grandma in there. I'm serious, okay? This is the way this played out. And so we're all home, and this is all happening. So we cleaned this all out. We're getting ready to throw everyone in. I was like, Dad, you ever seen one before? I said, no. I said, let's go find it. Okay. And so it was just a couple miles away from the house where this thing was, and we run outside, and we're looking around, right? It's like everyone's like, get back in the house. It's okay. We're good. And we're watching. And so apparently this tornado came within like 2 miles of our house, went back up, jumped over our house, and then it came down on Rhema property and actually sucked the roof off of a building that they wanted demolished, but they couldn't at the time afford to demolish it. So it took this, and so then it turned into an insurance job, praise God, and it was all covered, right? And so we're watching this whole thing. It's like, oh, cool. And there it is spinning. You can see the rotation in the air. Like, well, that's cool, right? And then it kind of passes over off into the distance. And then we get reports. And then it was a Wednesday night service. And we get reports that, they locked everyone in the church and whatnot. And, you know, they kind of locked everything down. And when we get there the next day, Pastor Hagen comes out and tells everyone, yeah, he said, well, we wanted that building gone anyway. So thank God it was done, you know? But that could have been a scary situation because people are hitting the deck. It was only us crazy newfies that were running out trying to see a freaking tornado, you know? So it was a very exciting time in my life. But you look back at it now, it's like, what was I thinking? You know what I mean? And there's been times I've been in crazy ice storms, the snowstorms, like I said. And the feelings you go through, I have had that feeling of, oh, crap, we're going to die. I remember one time specifically when we were underwater, and I had that feeling. I did not think I was going to make it home for a couple hours because it was really bad, and it was stormy. And the guys who's been fishing for a long time, they had that look on their face that they shouldn't have had because I'm a new guy, and you're not supposed to scare the crap out of me like that. You know what I'm saying? So here they are, and this is all happening, and they got this look like they're white. They're so afraid they're white, and I'm like, well, aren't you guys, like, gone through this before? Yeah. But most times, people don't make it out of this. It's like, and actually, while we were up there, there was several vessels went down. And so that was a bit of a scary thing as well. So when you're going through a storm, you're going to have different emotions. But you know what kept us going what in all this, besides our complete ignorance? You know, when you think about when you're going through a storm in life, for me, even though I have a pity party for the first little while, then I realize with something, that God has created and ordained me to do something better, and that I'm not supposed to be stuck here. This is not what my life is supposed to consist of. You see, and a lot of times we fall into that trap, and we start feeling bad about ourselves, and we forget about what God had designed for us to do. If we focus on the important things, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you're going through a storm, well, you've got to have faith right off the bat. You're supposed to be firmly planted in God. We are in Christ. Scripture tells us that. We are in Christ. And so if we are in Christ, that means that no matter what comes at us, it can't hurt us. Because it's already been overcome. So when sickness comes knocking on our door, yeah, you might have symptoms, and yeah, you might feel like not the greatest right there, but you know what? Praise be to God. By His stripes, we were healed. We are healed. It's done. It was done over 2,000 years ago for me and you. Amen? All sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, you name it, it's gone. But you see, we have an opportunity to do something, though. We're supposed to be doing something. There's a reaction from us. You see, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if we accept the Lord and we're growing up spiritually, that's the secret right there, is we have to grow up. We can't stay as babes. You know what? We have to mature. We have to grow up. Because if you're coming through a storm and you haven't learned nothing other than, you know, the very basic that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, well, then you're really not firmly planted and you've been in church for 25, 30 years. But, you know, that's a waste of time. I'm going to tell you straight up. And you're wondering why your finances is in trouble. Well, don't get me started on finances. Okay, Dave, I'm going there. All right, thank you. All right, so, you know, and you're wondering why, you know, you can't afford this, you can't afford that. Are you sowing seed? Don't just have to be financial seed, but are you helping out? Are you being a blessing to others? What's your attitude like? Are you being diligent at work? What are all those things? Come on now, you hear me? And you say, well, you know what, I can't afford to do this. No, don't give me that foolishness. Come on now. Do you love Jesus? Yes, you got a relationship with the Father? Yes. Does Scripture not say that every spiritual blessing belongs to you? Yes. Does my Father not own 1,000 cattle on a thousand, or all the cattle on 1,000 hills, whatever it is? I don't know how many cows that is, but that's a lot of cows. I'm not a farmer, I'm a fisherman. Now, if he would have done like a fishing-related analogy there, I would have been right there. If he would have said, well, my Father owns, you know, 10,000 crab pots, you know, and 10,000, I would have totally understood it and got it. I would have known, you know. But we had to, back then, lots of farmers, cattle, well, I understand that. That's Pastor Ken analogy, those farm boys, eh? So we understand that. What I'm trying to say is that God is blessed. God's got it. And so if we're his children, well, then does that not mean that we have it also? Yeah, it's funny, we had a discussion before service started, and talking with Rockefellers, you know, and they got a few bucks. Those guys know something about something. But you know what's interesting to know that Grandpa made all the kids and all the grandkids work in the corporation at very low, I mean extremely low jobs, entry-level jobs, for 1 year. So they know what life was like. I'm thankful that my Father God, he looks after me. So when I'm doing my work, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then I know that I'll never, ever miss a payment. That I'll never go broke. That I will always be taken care of. Amen? My kids, they're only small right now, but they'll never, ever go out without anything. I'll go without stuff so they can have things. But praise God, I don't have to go without things because I got God on my side. Come on now. But my kids know that if Daddy's got it, they got it. Benjamin, oh man. I don't have nothing that I own to myself. Everything is, Daddy, that's mine and yours, right? Yes, Ben. Yes, Ben. And my dad was teasing me because he's Steve. He said, you were the exact same way. He said, things would go missing out of my garage, and where would I find it? You would have it in your toolbox, you know? But see, that's the way we're supposed to be. What our Father got, he's got all those things for us. Why can't we have it and use it? Amen? Because we don't need to be going through a storm and being struggling there. We're going to go through a storm, but we're going to get through it. Are you listening to me? It's impossible to get through life without a storm, but it's always possible to get through a storm in life. It's a good Facebook status right there. You're welcome. You can have that one. And like poor Peter, when he jumped out of the boat, sometimes we got to jump out of the storm. We got to jump out of the situation. And sometimes it still might be raging around us, but we have to act. We have to move. We have to do something. We got to start moving towards Christ. We got to start moving towards God. So even though there's a storm raging around us, there was a reaction to that storm. That's when Peter jumped out of the boat. And when he started walking and he started heading towards Jesus, you know, he was doing the right steps until something caught him off guard again and he started looking at the storm. Well, then he done something wrong. But as soon as he realized he done something wrong, he stretched his hand up and he said, Jesus, save me. Jesus saved him. You see, he confessed with his mouth. He did something still. Even though he was going down in that storm, he still did something. He still opened up his mouth and spoke the word. Jesus saved me. And without hesitation, Jesus grabbed him and pulled him up out of that, held his hand, walked him across the water. They got back into the boat, and guess what? That storm was done. Because he done something. Don't get in a storm and just sit there and try and wait things out. Because you're going to be a long time sitting there, bouncing around. Get out of the boat and run towards Jesus. If you start to sink, just shout his name. Because he's right there. He'll grab you. If you start to sink again, shout his name again because he still got you. If things start looking crazier around you, you stop looking at those things. You keep focusing on Jesus. Amen? In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 44, we see another situation. It's when Jesus was in a boat again. I really like this Jesus guy. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It shows another time when he was in a boat and there was another great storm arose. And where was Jesus in all this situation? He was sleeping. You ever try to sleep on board of a vessel in a storm? I've tried that. I've done that. I've lived on a boat. The longest I've stayed on a boat is 93 days, start to finish. And we were sleeping in our bunks. We're only about 2.5 feet wide by about 6'4", 6'5", maybe. And that's where we slept. And we were like all, like, it was almost like a mausoleum. People just kind of stacked in. It was archaic, I'm telling you. Oh, Lord. And then I remember this one night, man, there was this one boat that used to fish up with us. And she was known to be a very rough ship. And when they built her, they actually installed seat belts in the bunks. So when the guys would go to bed, they put their seat belts on so they wouldn't fall out of the bunk, you know. So we would be able to sleep in a manner that we'd wedge ourselves in our bunks. So no matter how bad the storm was, we'd somewhat stay in. This one night where the storm was raging outside and there was no way you were staying in your bunk. And so there were several times I woke up with my foot holding myself into my bunk. There was a step there. And so here is Jesus, and he's snoozing away. You see, in order to have peace in a storm like that, you know, you got to know something. You see, Jesus, he was snoozing. The disciples around him, they were freaking out. Just turn there real quick. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that same day when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Keep going. And leaving the throng, they took with him in the boat in which he was sitting, and other boats were with him. Keep going. And a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled. But he himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the leather cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush now, be still." And the wind ceased, sank to rest as it exhausted its by its beating. And there was immensely a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. He said to them, "Why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust?" And they were filled with great awe and feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and sea should obey him?" Jesus was asleep. And when he came to, when the boys woke him up, he's like looking at these guys like, "What is wrong with you? It's only a storm." "But Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care?" Stop. I'm going back to bed. Jesus was not concerned about the storm. He had the peace of God within him. You see, we should not be losing sleep, stressing out, getting upset, getting all excited over the situations that we're facing in life. Why? Well, this is another scripture verse I want to show you. Turn over Psalms chapter 4, verse 8. I like this scripture verse. It says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you, Lord, alone make me dwell in safety and confident trust." So, this scripture verse, you should highlight that in your Bible, because the next time you're going to go through something and you start feeling stressed out, you start feeling angry or sad or upset or worried or whatever it is, look at this, and you're losing sleep. Because a lot of people lose sleep when they start stressing over stuff when they're in a storm. It says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you, Lord, alone make me dwell in safety and confident trust. What does that mean? That I'm going to trust in the Lord no matter what's going on around me. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to lose no sleep over no nothing. Amen? The Lord's got me. Oh, hallelujah. Unless you got little children that likes to wake up in the middle of the night. Dad! Dad! And they're ready to rock and roll and get up and run. Timothy. We focus on the Lord. Another scripture says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. You see, there's nowhere in scripture, I can't find anywhere in the Bible, and I searched today, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says, hold on to your fear, your strife, and your anxiety, and carry it all by yourself. Everything is about getting rid of it. Everything is talking about casting your cares upon the Lord. The Lord has give you rest. The Lord will give you peace. The Lord is your provider. The Lord is your shelter, your strong tower. The Lord is all these things. Nowhere does it say he's going to leave you. Nowhere does it say he's going to forget about you. Nowhere is it going to say he's going to let you stress. It's just all glory. It's all good things that he's going to do. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, we see here another fantastic teaching that took place. And talking about the guys that built, some contractors here. One guy built a house upon the rock, the other guy built a house upon the sand. Now you see here is that in order for us to withstand the storm, actually let's just look at the scripture verse. Matthew 7, verse 24, send them. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. Unless you are founded, I mean solidly founded in the Word of God. I like this here because Pastor Hagin does it and I've seen him do it. Unless, it's a solid rock right there. Unless you're standing on the Word of God, you're planted firmly in the rock. That when that storm comes, you're not going to waver. You're not going to fall. You see, if you're not listening to what God has been teaching us and what's in His Word, all these things we've talked about is nothing. It's all going to wash away. Because when the big storm comes and you're built on some not so great ground, you don't have a firm foundation in the Lord, well, then it's just going to wash your feet right out from under you. But if you're firmly planted on the rock, doesn't matter what the storm is. You see, another nautical theme is an anchor. I love anchors. Because when you're anchored and you're solid, doesn't matter how bad the storm is, you're not blowing off course, you're not going nowhere, you're being anchored. And that's what we need to be anchored in Jesus tonight. No matter how hard the wind blows, no matter how hard the rain has fallen, no matter what's going on around us, if we're anchored in Jesus, we know that we have a solid footing, a solid foundation, and that we'll weather the storm. We're going to get through it. And we don't take it as, oh, that hurt. It's going to be, oh, great, I learned something new. I learned that my faith in God is strong and that I can get through things. And that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on now. Everyone stand on your feet tonight. It's exciting to know that we can stand on the Word of God. It's exciting to know that we can be solid in the rock. That we don't have to build our house on the sand. That we put all the teachings in. We come to church and we do what we're supposed to be doing. We're listening to the Word of God. We're getting our foundation built. We're doing what God has called us to do. Because that's how you build a foundation. In order to build a good house, you got to have a strong foundation. In order to have a strong relationship with the Father, you got to do a lot of groundwork. You have to grow up spiritually. It takes a long time to build a foundation. Concrete work is hard work. When you're doing something solid like that, there's a lot of reinforcing that's got to be done. And I believe a lot of us here, you know what? We still got to be doing a lot of work. We got to be shoring up our bottom end. We got to make sure that we have the ABCs of faith down. We got to make sure that we know that we can go to God no matter what the situation is. We have to know who we are in Christ. We have to know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We have to know that Jesus died for our sins. We have to know that we have authority over the devil, over the powers of darkness. Come on now. We have to know these redemptive realities. We have to know that we are already been healed, that it's all been taken care of, that we belong to God. We have to know that greater is He that is in me. Come on, we have to know these things. Because when the storm comes, it's too late to be scrambling and trying to figure them out. We have to be ready and prepared, and no matter what the devil's going to throw at us. Scripture tells us that the devil is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Well, when he's chewing on your ankles is not the time to start getting prepared. I wonder what I should do in this situation. You need to be focused now. Get that foundation firm. Because when that storm comes, don't be looking at the storm. You look to Jesus. And if you feel like you're sinking, just say His name. Jesus, save me. You know, we try to complicate things sometimes. Oh, no, Have that relationship with the Father. There's benefits from a relationship, amen? And when you're connected up with God, it's so awesome. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter if it seems like there's relationships falling apart. Doesn't matter if things are not going well with your health. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. You always put God first. You always start preparing. You start putting things in now. Because your confession is vital to your outcome. Your actions is vital to your outcome. When the pressure comes on and you're in that storm, what's the first thing that comes out of you? Oh, woe is me. Or is it, woo, Jesus? When the rubber hits the road, are you just making noise? Are you just squealing your tires? Or are you going to make some traction? You're going to get out of there. You're going to get through that storm. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Well, if you're in this place tonight, and you're going through a storm, you've got a battle in life right now, and you feel like you're being bounced around. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to be in that situation. The outcome looks great. Can you see it? Everything I've told you tonight is not my word. Don't take my word for it. You go in the Bible. You look back at these scriptures that I've given you. I've given you quite a few scriptures tonight. You go back and look at those scriptures and see what the Word of God says for yourself. Because if you are going through something, with an audience this size, I know there's people going through battles. I know there's people facing some pretty nasty storms in this place. But you can get through it. You can do it. Focus on God. For the next couple of minutes, let's just stretch our hands towards heaven and let's just consecrate ourselves over to God. Let's just give ourselves over to Him right now. Father God, we just give ourselves over to You. Father, you know these situations that's going on in people's lives, but Lord, we thank You right now that You are greater than any storm. You're greater than any battle. That You speak to a storm and it has to stop. So, Father God, I thank You right now for those storms that are stopping. That those beautiful days are right now. Thank You, Jesus. Woo! Woo! We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Come on, guys. Let's just stir yourself up right now. Scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord because He is great. And that He's made a plan for us that we can get out of a storm. And that we can be prosperous in life. Come on, church. Yes. You're in a storm right now. You start speaking to it. You start speaking to that situation in your life right now. Blood pressure has to go. Heart disease has to go. Diabetes has to go. Come on now. Come on now. Woo! Relationship problems have to go. Yes! Sickness, disease has to leave. Pain and backs have to go. Stomach issues have to go. Come on. Come on. Just stir yourselves up right now. Tell that storm, be still. Yes. Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh. Yeah, the victory is coming. The victory is coming. You, some of y'all got it already. Look at that. Look at the smiles on the face. Some breakthroughs happening right now, Pastor Dave. Woo! Come on. Come on. We can do this for another 30 seconds. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now let's start rejoicing a little bit. Come on. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Come on. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank Him right now for our answers. Thank Him right now for taking care of us. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah! Woo! Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha! Woo! That's good. That's good. That's good. Woo! Everyone just look at me for a second. How y'all feeling right now? Feel that on the inside right now? You see, when you're going through a storm, you don't always feel like shouting and hollering. You always don't feel like, you know, glorifying God in that moment. But you see, as soon as you start doing it, you see what happens? You get over. It puts you over into that realm, man. And you see, you get those feelings on the inside, the warm feelings, your spirit man starts jumping. Amen? You start feeling it. You start feeling good. Amen? And all of a sudden, that storm don't seem so bad anymore. And you see, and then the Lord starts working on the inside of you because now you've told the devil he's got to back off and you allow the Holy Spirit to start doing something on the inside of you. Do it again for another 30 seconds. Let's just get a little, come on. Woo-hoo! Yes! 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 Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes! 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 Doesn't matter if it's the perfect storm. We're going through it and we're going to make it. Come on! Yes! Yes! Tell the devil he's a liar. Come on! Come on! Yes! God's got you! God's got you! God's got it taken care of! Yes! Woo! How y'all feeling now? Feeling a little better again now, eh? Up a little notch maybe? You know, you're up a little notch. You feeling that? Some of y'all finally starting to smile. That's good. Now, you see, the more you do that, the more you stir yourself up when you're in a storm. You see what happened? You're creating a Holy Ghost storm in a storm. And sometimes you got to get a reaction taking place. Because you can create a Holy Ghost storm that's going to be bigger than the storm that you're in. And it's going to suck that life out of that little storm that the devil had. Come on now. Come on. Come on now. Stir it up. Stir it up. Come on. Come on. Woo! Woo! Boy, that's good. That's good. Woo! Woo! A Holy Ghost tornado right there. Come on. The devil can't mess with this. The devil can't mess with this at all. He can't touch this. No matter what he throws at you. How do you feel right now on the inside? Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Because you can be here and you're feeling as high as a kite. Hallelujah. You get out through them doors, you're like, whee! Oh! And as soon as you get out through them doors and you feel like the devil just smacked you right in the face with a 2x4, you know what you do? Even though you don't feel like doing it? Come on, we're all going to do it together now for another 30 seconds. This is what you got to do. 1, 2, 3. Woo! You start stirring it up again. You start stirring it up again. You face that storm head on and you go through it and you declare that it is done. You declare that greater is he that is in you. Come on now. That's what you got to do. But no, no. And then you go a little bit further and you start feeling down again. Oh, wait a minute. Woo! Yeah! Come on. You got to stir yourself up. No one else is going to do it for you. I'm not going to come to your house and scream in your ear. Kendra gets that at her house, and trust me, you don't want that all the time. It goes both ways. No, you need to be able to stir yourself up. That when even you might be sick in bed. Brother Hagin was in bed. He pulled the sheets over his head and he started hollering. You know? That's what you got to do sometimes. You just got to start hollering, just thanking God. If you don't feel like it, you do it anyhow. Some of y'all, you're going to do a lot of screaming because you don't feel like it all the time. Some of y'all people are going to look at you and say, what's wrong with you? I was in Safeway a year and a half ago. I walked in there one time and came in from church service. It was an awesome time. And I got into Safeway, and I was just beaming. I mean, I'm telling you, I didn't even realize it, but I was just, you know. And I got to the checkout, and I was just like, I got this little blurb. I don't even know if Kendra heard this story before, but I got this little blurb of the Holy Spirit on the inside. As I'm at the checkout, and I'm face to face with the cashier. And I just kind of went out of it for a second. Woo! And I frightened the daylights out of the poor cashier. And he looked at me and, whoa, are you okay? She said, I'm wonderful. I'm good. I'm good. I just came from church. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And the big old greasy grin came on the girl's face there. She just started to smile. I said, I'm just feeling good. But you see, that's what we need to be like. Because we need to have that just kindling on the inside. Instead of being tossed around, feeling like a bunch of seasick disciples. We need to be a Jesus. We need to be a Peter, at least making an effort. Amen? Make an effort. Because then you see what happens when you get out of the boat? That's when all the fun begins. Amen? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Well, I don't know about you. I'm glad I came to church tonight. Hopefully you got something out of that. I did. I think I preached to myself the whole night because, man, I needed that. I needed that. I feel good now. I better not stop at Safeway. I might frighten the daylights out of one of the cashiers over there. You can start laying hands on them or something in there. Have a great big revival meeting in Safeway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Yes. So what are you going to do when that storm looks bad? What are y'all going to do? What are you going to do when you walk into the church doors and, oh, the devil slaps you? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when the situation looks pretty bleak and that storm is raging? What are you going to do? Is it just me or did the crowd double in here? Wow. Wow, that's good. Wow. Praise God. No, no matter what the situation is. We sing a song of Raymond. No matter what the situation is, I want you to know that I win. Remember that, Kendall? Used to sing that one there? Philip Slaughter would get up there and he'd start dancing. Pastor Ken, you know what I'm talking about? Pastor Ken had a good jig to that one too, I think. But no matter what the situation is, I want you to know that I win. No matter what the devil throws at you, I want you to know that I win. No matter what happens in your life, you win. Amen? Amen. You guys are dismissed. Have a wonderful evening. Praise God.